live for another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. Joining me today, TFD Senior Performance Dietitian, Mr. Jack Doherty, the Combat Dietitian. Thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, today we're talking about a really cool topic, the psychological side of weight cutting. Everyone's pretty familiar with weight cutting. Obviously, if you follow our work, you know what weight cutting is. If you're a fighter, you've obviously done this or probably done this as well. You understand that weight cutting is putting yourself in an environment where you're going to be physiologically sweating and losing quite a bit of weight to make that contracted fight weight. Something that I've noticed in this field that gets talked about pretty much next to nil. No one really talks about this is the whole psychological side of weight cutting. And when you do what Jack and I do, you come to understand that even as practitioners, this is of extreme importance. There is supreme benefit to understanding the psychological side of weight cutting and then understanding how that applies to each individual athlete.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing that I've, like, you know, we spoke about recently. For myself, like the last 2 weeks, I've been running around supervising a lot of cuts. And I was telling you the other day, this component is one of the most important parts to discuss and kind of understand for yourself as an athlete going into a weight cut, in my opinion.
Yeah, so what we're going to go through today, Jack and I put together 6 things that, say, if you're a practitioner and you're working with an athlete, we're going to gear this more towards you, but I'm sure athletes, you'll be able to relate to this. And athletes, if you are listening to this and you work with a practitioner and you notice some of these things, maybe you haven't communicated that to them, this is a good opportunity, right? When me and Jack are going back and forth, for you to communicate that with your dietitian or whoever you're working with or a coach or whoever takes you through this process. Because you might not be thinking, oh, that maybe that's just something I just do all the time. They need to be aware of it because these things are important. So 6 things that we think are extremely important when it comes to the psychological side of weight cutting. The very first one we're going to start with is the environment of the weight cut. You could call this the setting, the mood, the atmosphere, whatever, just the general environment of where you do it. And this starts as simple as, do you jump in a bath? Do you jump in a sauna? The environment in a bathroom is very different to the environment in, say, a public sauna in a gym where there's going to be lots of different people. Other things that you can consider when we're talking about the environment, the setting, does the athlete like a light room or a dark room? Do they have the lights on? Do they have the lights off? Do you close the curtains? Do you keep it open? Other things like music, if you're going into a sauna that's in a public gym, can you control what music's on? When you're in a room, in a bathtub, you can bring a speaker in and you can control the type of music that this athlete's listening to. All of these things are really, really important because it sets the athlete up mentally for a lot of success if they're in an environment that they're comfortable in.
Yeah, I think that was highlighted for me myself. Like last week, I was helping 2 guys get weight cut at the same time. And obviously they're from the same team and they're friends, very close. But each time I had one of them in the bath, it was a very different scenario. One was lights off, one was lights on, one had music playing. Obviously, they both had music playing at the start, different genres. And then as the rounds kind of went forth, one wanted the music off, one wanted the music back on. So again, I think it was very important to be specific in that moment for each one of them to make them as comfortable as possible. But yeah, each and every athlete I found that really, really likes a different environment when it comes to this, especially when it comes to obviously bath versus sauna, the kind of the surroundings, the music and so forth.
Yeah. And it's important to be aware of this and have that conversation with your athlete and get to know it. Because like Jack said, when you're managing multiple different athletes, you have to do your best to cater that environment for that athlete. And I think this leads nicely into that second point. Is how does an individual go through the process and what needs to change for that individual? That plays a huge psychological factor because each individual, like Jack said, will have their own preferences as they move throughout this process of making weight. So for example, I had 4 guys in New York last week that were all cutting weight and we had 3 of them cutting in weight in the same room. And they were rotating between the baths, the sauna and the sauna blankets. And like Jack said, every time I was in a bath with someone, very, very, very different environment. We've got the first guy, say Brad Riddell, goes in there. It's a very relaxed, calm, meditative type of environment. He needs to have his arms up, needs to be nice and relaxed. He gets out. You get someone like Dan Hooker that comes in. It's a very chatty, high energy. You know, he wants to be distracted. He doesn't want to be thinking about what he's doing. You're chatting. You're kind of having a laugh with him. And then you get someone, say like Israel comes in. He comes in. Again, kind of in between. He has that mid-range. He's not very like You don't want to sit there and say absolutely nothing, but you don't want to be too high energy. You want to put on a podcast. You can discuss the points of the podcast. He's got his music going. You want to kind of vibe along with him with that music. Three very different levels of energy. And as they go through that process, that changes and that fluctuates throughout.
Yeah, I think that we're lucky enough to work with these guys on the regular. So we already know this kind of information. We know what they like, what they dislikes, and we know the stages of their cut and what kind of needs to change. But I think that's, even if we're working with someone new, I think that's the discussion that I always have. And it doesn't seem like the most important component when you're thinking about, you know, bath, sauna, and all the other elements to a weight cut. But I always have that discussion at the start. Like, what would you like? Do you want people in the room? Do you not want people in the room? Do you want me to talk? Do you want to listen to music? Kind of what's the most ideal situation for you, and what are you wanting? Because at the end of the day, you're trying to make this, you know, this uncomfortable process as comfortable as possible for them as an individual. So I think that's what we're lucky enough, because we work with people on the regular, you kind of understand them on that kind of basis, but it's always good to have that communication with them at any one point, because like you said, it can change at any point, and making sure you're checking in. So like if it's around two or three of a weight cut, I'll always ask those questions. Do you want the music on? Do you want it off? Do you want me to keep talking to you? And just have that communication line with them, just so they feel supported at every step of the way.
Yeah, it's interesting. The music is a massively interesting one, because obviously music has a lot of psychological motivation for a lot of people, right? And so it's interesting seeing throughout the process how people mentally go through the routine and how music assists with that, and how detrimental, say, music they don't enjoy can be. And I've seen that, you know, we've got guys like Kai Kai France. Me and him have done, I think, 10 or 11 weight cuts together now. And literally every time you go through, it's the same process of what type of music. You know, it starts off pretty high end. We'll listen to like some rap R&B for that first round when the energy is quite high. Then obviously, yeah, we keep cutting a bit more weight, then we're starting to mellow it down, and we kind of go more into that relaxed, more meditative music. And usually in that last round, because it's a bit of a push and it's that home stretch, we're usually listening to usually what they're walking out to. They're getting into that mind, and it's kind of like that alter ego of that person they're becoming when they go into the cage is coming out. We always talk about that when it comes to the psychological side of weight cutting, it's like the process is so individual to each person, because it's the process of releasing that fighter alter ego, which I think is very interesting. I've spoken about this a lot. I think Israel is a good example because everyone's familiar with his alter ego of Stylebender, but it's applicable to all the fighters. Israel becomes Stylebender when he's cutting weight. He wraps up and then he goes in as Israel and he comes out as Stylebender, and that guy's ready to fight the next night. So it's very, very intriguing, I find, to see how each of the guys at each stage of this process, whether that be music at different stages, whether you're talking to them or certain things they say, whether they're doing breath work and meditating, how they bring out that alter ego at different stages.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one we'll speak about a bit later about another topic, but I think breath work is a big one. I think some guys are very experienced in breath work and have, you know, taken that very seriously throughout camp. But other than that, I think that breath work is a very important component that we kind of encourage as the weight cut progresses as well.
Yeah, so just summing that back up again is knowing how your individual athlete goes through each one of those stages and what their preferences are at each of those stages are really important. What type of music do they like? Do they like music? Do they not like it? Do they want the lights on? Do they want the lights off? Do they want you to talk to them? Do they not want you to talk to them? And then do you have to do additional things with them at different stages, such as breath work, which we'll touch on in a couple of points time. But this next point, I think, is by far the most important one, and that's the energy of the room. And it's very interesting when you see this between teams, right? Because teams are made up of all different individuals of all very different personality traits. And it's interesting when you've got a bunch of them in a room that all feed off different energy wavelengths, and then they're going through the weight making process. Like I said earlier, we've got guys like Kai Kai France and Brad Riddell. For their weight cuts, they like that low energy. They like that low, calm energy. They don't love having a lot of people around. And the people that are around in those rooms dictate the energy. And you can really, really throw someone off by who you have in the room. That's not necessarily saying someone's a bad person or is bad for whatever. They just might not match that person's energy that's cutting weight. And Jack, we've done it heaps of times, right? Where how many times have I kicked someone out of a weight cut room? Not because they're doing anything wrong, but just because they're throwing off the energy. We're sounding very hippy dippy here, but they're throwing off the energy, and you can see that it's upsetting or stressing out the athlete. And we'll talk about why stress is so bad in a little bit, but that energy and that vibe of the room is so, so important. And the people that you have around there is extremely important to maintaining that energy. And some athletes, they love having people there. They feed off that energy. Like Dan Hooker, Israel Adesanya, they feed off having that energy there. They love it. They get really high frequency with it. Other guys, way more relaxed, way more mellow. They just want themselves and now the meal, you in there with them and no one else.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think it's imperative to have people in the weight cut room or in the vicinity who have experience about in the world of weight cutting, either they've been around it their whole life or they've done it themselves. Because I think like what we've said, like early in our careers, when we kicked people out of the room was just simply they didn't understand what we're speaking about. We'd either over talk, overshare. We've even had people drinking cold water in weight cut rooms in front of people. So I think it's very important to, like, if you're going to have the people around, that you're very selective, who makes you feel comfortable, you know, who's kind of empathetic to the situation or understanding of the situation. Because I think that if you don't do that, like I've seen people invite friends or family or people who've just simply wanted to be there for the sake of being there and not really understood the process, can kind of really throw off the energy and make the person annoyed, stressed out. And that's the kind of things we're avoiding. So I think, you know, it's very important to understand what kind of, like you said, the energies and what kind of people you want around you in this process.
Yeah, like I said, some people love it and they absolutely vibe off it. And, you know, I've worked with teams where that's a thing, right? And I think, you know, the Charles Oliveira picture, right, where he's got his whole team around, like, I think that was a bit corny and a bit weird, to be honest. Like, I thought that was a bit much, but the concept I understand, right? Like getting everyone around and it's like you're feeding that collective mana, as the Kiwis call it. And it's like that real collective energy of the room, and the fighters feed off that. Most of my fighters would get really, really annoyed if they had, you know, 20 people linked by the arm standing over them while they're wrapped up in towels, but each to their own. And you've got to dictate that energy. Everyone that's in the room has to be almost carefully orchestrated to as to why they are or aren't there, to determine whatever type of energy you're trying to get. So that's a really important one. The next one I think is really cool as well, and something that you probably don't consider until you do it a couple of times with someone, is just the pure time that it takes an individual to go through the process. Because you could have two athletes that say have the exact same sweat rate and they lose the exact same amount of, you know, wait for the same amount of time in a hot bath, for example, but it might take one of those athletes 2 hours to make weight and the other one 3.5 hours. And a big reason for that is that each individual athlete has a certain amount of time they need to go through each of these steps of the process. And when I say that, that's getting in the bath, then transitioning to the towels, and then in between rounds. Some athletes are just happy to just bang it out back to back, and they can do it and they can physiologically stay within safe limits. But some athletes just need to chill. Like, the fact of the matter is they need to chill. They need to let their core body temperature come down a bit, needs to come down, and then they need to calm down, and they can't bang it out like that. So that could be the difference between a weight cut going for 2 hours or a weight cut going for 3.5, 4+ hours.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing, like, in terms of what I negotiate with my guys, is just like speaking about the time that we should start, especially on the weigh-in days. Just because, again, allowing enough time to, like, you know, have a rest, you know, if it gets a bit overwhelming, you can kind of take some time. Because I know we want to minimize the amount of time we're stressing the body and doing the cut, but I feel like a lot of the time people kind of leave it a bit too late and try to bang it out in a very short amount of time, which can cause them more stress and then, you know, in fact, make the process kind of longer than it should be or it would have been if you had more time, because of you're taking that stress off yourself, giving you ample time to do that, ample time to take a rest, ample time to get to the venue and all those kind of things. There's so many factors, again, involved. And also, like, what I think a lot of people don't speak about, which we've experienced ourselves, is that, like, if you're starting at a certain time, you're hoping for the best. There's all these variables you can't control. Like, we've happened to us, which is hot water systems gone to shit. Like, I remember probably it was a Gold Coast Eternal. It was like, I think I had like 3 or 4 guys cutting weight, like me, Justin Van Heeden, Roy Armstrong, and a couple other guys. And then we're in the hotel in Gold Coast at the sauna. And then midway through the cutting, everything's going fantastic, smoothly, boom, the sauna shits itself. And they were like, oh, sorry, it's just not working anymore. And I'm sitting there going, well, what are we going to do? Because none of us have baths. Luckily, we had Dojo on board at the time. We all scooped all the boys over to his apartment, which luckily had a sauna in it. But again, if we hadn't started earlier, just to give us more time, we would have been in such strife because we didn't have an alternative backed up. But because we had that crucial amount of time that we allowed for, we were able to transport the athletes, get there, make them cut the weight, and then transport them back to the weigh-ins, and we had ample time. So I just think that sometimes it's just a bit safer to give yourself more time, give yourself less stress, and allow the process to come a bit more naturally, not so quick and harsh on the body.
Yeah, everything that goes wrong in a weight cut usually happens when you rush it. And I've seen so many people do that. Like we always say, right, every weight cut week, we always say this, plan for the worst and just hope for the best, because more likely than not, something's going to go wrong and you're just going to have to deal with it. And I've seen it, and I've been victim of it when I was younger doing this with guys where you plan certain things. And like Jack said, the hot water system goes out and all of a sudden there goes 2 hours and now you're running and chasing your tail. And that just exponentially increases the risk of these guys having problems during this process, which you absolutely do not want. Something we keep mentioning here, and we said we're going to get to it, we're finally at it, is stress. And I think this is an extremely important one that does not nearly get the attention that it deserves when we're talking about weight cutting, especially because it has such impact on both the psychological and physiological side. There's such a huge impact here. And what we talk about when we're saying stress, each individual that goes through this process has their own way of, one, dealing with stress, and two, how much they stress. And Jack was talking about earlier with breath work. So we found that this is a hugely important and powerful tool that these guys can use to calm their body down and reduce the stress. Now, why do we want to reduce stress? Because when we're releasing cortisol, that stress response in our body, that sympathetic tone, where we're going into that fight mode, out of fight or flight, we're going into fight mode, that causes a physiological response in our body, and it causes everything to tighten up. We call it vasoconstriction. When we're sweating, we need blood to be going to our skin so our sweat glands can open up and we can push fluid out through our system out onto our skin. When we vasoconstrict, we greatly inhibit that. And you see that when you have guys in the bath. Jack, I'll let you tell a story, but I'm sure you've seen it. How many times when guys start freaking out in the bath and they start hyperventilating, their breathing goes off, their heart rate goes up, and you can tell the stress levels are going through the roof. And then what happens? Their sweat rate goes down.
Yeah. I think that's something that, you know, I've seen a lot of times happen, and it's a great comparison for you. So I've got a guy who is one of my long-term clients. He's very good with his breath work. He's actually, you know, it's part of his whole routine. He's very much about it in general in his life, but in the weight cut room, he controls his breathing so well. And I can see how that affects his heart rate. And then the sweat just comes off him and he does it very easily. The water comes off. He doesn't feel too drained. And that's one side of it, right? So very good control, controls his stress. Again, also, as we've spoken about, he controls his whole environment, everything else we've spoken about. We've done it for so long. But because he's got this breath work and his stress is so low, that his sweat rate is amazing. It's consistent and he gets through it very easily. Whereas I've had other guys who maybe the first round, fantastic sweat rate, came off very well. And then going into the second round, I can see their breathing rate change. They're thinking they're controlling it, but they're slightly kind of hyper. Their response to the environment, they started getting a bit stressed. Their breath rate starts to increase. And they think they're controlling, but I can know it's not happening. And they're starting to stress, the breath rate's increasing. And you can just see the stress response in their body, from a physical standpoint. And then when they go to check their weight, their sweat rate, so the amount they've lost in that round, dramatically decreases. And what I mean dramatically, whereas then people in the room will turn around and be like, what happened? And then I have to explain to them that it's because of this stress response, because they started to get overwhelmed, because they couldn't control their breath, their stress hormone, the cortisol, was released, and it's going to dramatically reduce the amount that they sweat. Even though it appears they're sweating, it will dramatically decrease. So I think that those two situations I spoke about is what I tell a lot of people, and just to show the comparison of how powerful breath work and stress reduction can be in the weight cut room.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess there's two more points I want to make on this topic is, one, from a practitioner standpoint, you want to do everything you can to control the stress response from that individual. So if you know your individual, this is why we're talking about all these other factors: control the environment, the setting, the mood, the atmosphere that they're in. control who's around and who's controlling the energy. Just having bad energy in that room can increase that stress response. I have an athlete in particular at City Kickboxing every time, exactly what Jack just explained then. If there's a certain number of people come into the room and it's more than just myself, they come into the room, even if they're in a different room and we're in a closed in bathroom, that sweat response drops and it's completely due to stress because he just subconsciously stresses out that they're in the room. So hugely, hugely, hugely important. You just have to do everything you can to control it. And you have to do everything you can to assist that athlete once they go through it, or if they do experience, like Jack said, what can we do to manage this and what can we do to get this back down? Okay, maybe we need a break out of the tub, let them cool down. We need them to control their breath and we need to get that heart rate back down because you know what? They're just not going to be worth it. They're not going to be sweating this session. So let's just call it quits, get that under control and let's go back in and go hard rather than just wasting an hour. So you need to be very mindful. And it's very, very important. I don't think people give it credit because it's just not something that pops up until you, like Jack said, you check the scale and then everyone's looking at the room at each other going, what the heck just happened? Then why didn't we lose so much weight? And you go, well, there was just too much going on, way too much stress. This next round, you guys need to go out. We're putting on the music. We're chilling out. We're doing some breath work, heating the bath back up. We're in a dark room. Let us do our thing. And that's how you have to play it.
100%.
Very last thing that I want to go through, and I think this ties into it. It ties into it all nicely. Anyone that's ever gone through a weight cut will understand this. You need to understand what motivates the athlete when times get tough. Now, we're not advocating to doing tough weight cuts, but everything's tough. Like training in general is tough. Like I'll go out for a run and I'll get to a certain point of dehydration that's basically unavoidable if you're doing a certain volume of training, which a lot of these MMA athletes are doing. There's just going to be an unavoidableness of toughness that's required to get through this process. It's just, no one does it completely easy. There's a degree of toughness everyone needs. What does that athlete need in terms of motivation, and what motivates them is very, very individual to them, whether that's their family, whether that's their friends, you know, whether you need to just sit down and do a Coach Carter pep talk with them, or whether you just simply need to sit down and be with them and you don't need to say anything. Every athlete is going to be very different in what they need from you when those times get tough and they need that little bit of motivation.
I think that's what's also important. If you're ever going to supervise or be a part of these weight cuts, to understand your athlete and like kind of build that rapport is so important, because sometimes, like Jordan said, it's just being present is enough. Just being with them and kind of reassuring them, like, you know, I know I'm like, you know, just like, as you said, it's tough. Regardless of a small weight cut or a large weight cut, it's still tough. And just reminding them that you know, just kind of coasting them through that, but kind of just being present with them, understanding the situation, but kind of motivating. And again, if you know that person well enough, you know how to motivate them. Sometimes it's just being present. Sometimes just having a hand on their back while they're going through it and just saying, brother, it's going to be all right. You're good. You're fine. We'll get through this, blah, blah, blah. So it's just a kind of like, I think it's just understanding that person as well. Like what we've spoken about is just understanding yourself as an individual or the person you're helping with as an individual. And it becomes a lot more of an easy process.
Especially if you're doing this safely, which I hope every single person here is doing it safely, because you don't want to tough out a really big weight cut. You just shouldn't be doing it. But if you've done the numbers right and you say are sweating out only 3-4 and a maximum of 5% of your body weight, which most of the scientific community would consider quite safe, and your body is very capable of doing it, like I said, there's going to be that degree of toughness, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. You know, you have to be able to get through it. It's going to be hard. You just have to know what you have to say and do to get that person through it. Because at the end of the day, it's safe for them to get through that bit, but it doesn't make that little speed bump any easier. Even if all the numbers are working out and it's a really good cut and they're not doing anything too drastic, once they get to that point, which most people will when they're doing this process, it doesn't make that speed bump any easier knowing, oh, I'm only sweating out 2-4%. I've still got to get through this bump. So like Jack said, knowing, do you just put a little bit of a touch on them? Do you talk to them? Is it just being there? Is it putting on their favorite song? Is it, I've got some athletes that I have a picture of their kids and I just put that at the bottom of the bath when I know it's getting tough, and that's what gets them going. So it's just knowing that individual athlete and knowing what you do need to do for them to get them through that point.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a big thing. I know we always bang on about like weight cutting and make sure it's safe and doing like having the numbers and stuff like that. But I think this is just as a vital point of it. Like, you know, build that rapport with your athletes. If you're going to be a part of their weight cut and assist them like what we're doing, like I spend countless hours, you know, building that relationship with my clients, you know, on a personal level, understanding them. So I know when I do help them in the weight cut or I am present, I know how to do it in the best way. And I think that's what goes a bit missing a lot of the time. I think people will see our job and be like, oh, you know, they're in the bath and they're transitioning from the bath into the wraps and stuff like that. But I think is what we, what a lot of people don't see is the amount of effort we go in kind of making these people, you know, understand them as deep as possible so we can make sure it's as safe as possible. Because all this stuff and understanding stress and understanding their environment is a part of the safety process we go through with the weight cutting. So, you know, if you're going to help someone or you're going to undertake someone, know if you're an individual athlete, know what's best for you and communicate that with people. And if you're a practitioner, try to understand them on a deeper level than just their weight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll wrap that up there. That's our top six tips of things you will absolutely not read in a textbook if you want to start doing this stuff, the psychological side of weight cutting. You'll never read about it, probably not anytime soon anyway, but hugely, hugely important if you're a practitioner listening to this. Even if you're an athlete, like Jack said, if you're an athlete and any of these things are kind of buzz in your mind, you're like, oh, I do that. Communicate that with the people that cut weight with you because it does make the whole process so much easier. But I think it just highlights there's so much more that goes into this than just the actual sweating and getting in a bath or a sauna and sweating out. Like there's so much more, especially if you're trying to do this as safe and as efficient as possible. There's so many other things that go into this process rather than just sweating out. So hopefully you guys get a bit of cool insight there. If you like that episode, let us know. If you've got any other tips, any other things that we didn't cover in this, feel free to shoot me a message. I always like learning and hearing from you guys, but that's a good episode there. I think we'll call it there, Combat Jack.
Thank you, sir.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. We have had such a great response to our TFD Performance Hub, and we have just dropped our brand new course, Mobility for BJJ with Dr. Kickass. Dr. Kickass is one of the world leaders when it comes to BJJ performance, and this course has been made using the science of kin stretch, which helps BJJ athletes not only become stronger on the mats, but injury-proof their joints. This is truly a game changer for all BJJ athletes at every level of competition. If you want to start injury-proofing your body, then head to the link in the show notes and purchase our Mobility for BJJ course.